Ah, you sneaked up on me. Greetings, especially to you, my friend. Welcome to the Water Owl, the Watergat. My name is Peter Warne, and today we are going to spend some quality golden time together around the life-giving Word of God. Now, as you know, we are in a pretty long series of Christian Living Today. Today, part 11 of 12 parts, progress towards humility. You have to be becoming more and more humble, or you are not maturing in God. Pride and entitlement are poison in our country at this time. Humility is the key to bringing down these demonic mindsets of pride, racism, and entitlement. Now, today, if I offend you, I apologize. But if the truth offends you, God is surely calling you to respond. Before we get into today's topic, let's ask God's help. Father, we're going to deal with some stuff today, which we have to deal with. But Lord, we can't just hear the nice parts of your word. We need your whole counsel to round us off, to make us who we need to be, to give us Christ-likeness in every area of our life. So, Lord, please come and speak into our hearts. We give you our hearts, Lord. We did in the first series, first chapter of the series. We said we're opening our hearts so you'll come and work in us. And Lord, we say that again today. Thank you for your truth. May it set us free. Even if it rattles our cage, even if it gives us rocks to chew on. Come on, Lord. With you, we can do this. In Jesus' name, for your name's sake, Father. Amen. So, part 11, progress in humility. Part one. After this, obviously, just the last one. Now, we saw in a previous message that in order to receive the grace needed to live from a place of protected victory, we need to have the right mind, a mindset of humility, not weakness, humility. Humility in the Bible is described as lowliness, a freedom from pride. Legitimate pride is boasting of what the Lord has done. Nothing wrong with that. Illegitimate pride is boasting of what you have done. Things like loving self more than loving God. One of the worst forms of pride in our nation today is ancestral pride. What is that? It's pride in who my ancestors were. I am black. I am white. I am brown. I am Afrikaner. I am English. I am Zulu. I'm Khoisan. Therefore, I am cleverer. I am better. I am more entitled than everybody else. Oh, my word. That evil pride holds us back. It's a bondage Your hands are tied. Your legs are shackled. That evil pride keeps us from accepting one another and from coming into unity to solve the problems of this nation. Now, all of us lost out big time through apartheid. Yes, we did. All of us. And now we sit. Well, I don't need you. I can do this by myself. Oh, really? How's that working for you? Philippians 2, verse 3. In the ESV, God says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. What a call. A spirit of entitlement makes you believe that the world and society owes you just because you were born. That life owes you, that you are entitled to everything without you having to work for it. That is evil pride at its highest, at its worst, at its most demonic. Both the Old and the New Testament describe how God lifts up the lowly, saves the humble, gives grace to the meek, but how God resists the proud. Now, since we as human beings can so easily fall into the sin of pride, God often has in the past and still does do things to deliberately humble his people. As believers, being humble means selflessly using what God has given you to benefit others. No hidden agenda, no strings attached, not always expecting reward or catching shine. Just being a humble servant. Jesus showed total humility in laying aside his heavenly glory and becoming a man. And not a rich man, a poor man. A man who had nothing, nothing. Paul uses Christ's humility to encourage us to be humble. In Philippians 1, from verse 27, in the CEV, I'm going to read this three verses. Listen to this. Above all else, you must live in a way that brings honor to the good news about Christ. Then, whether I visit you or not, I will hear that all of you think alike. I will know that you're working together and that you are struggling side by side to get others to believe the good news. Be brave when you face your enemies. Your courage will show them that they are going to be destroyed. And it will show you that you will be saved. You see, meekness, humility, but with courage. Wow, what is that? Your courage will show them that they are going to be destroyed. And it will show you that you will be saved. God will make all of this happen. And he has blessed you. Not only do you have faith in Christ but you suffer for him. You saw me suffer, and you still hear about my troubles. Now you must suffer in the same way. Don't be surprised, my friend, when people go against you, life goes against you, the lawmakers go against you. Don't be surprised. Living a life worthy of the good news of Christ. That's what Paul says. Live a life worthy of the good news. Paul is talking about how the church stands in relation to Christ. He focuses on the practical things, on their walk, their behavior, and on what the world would see in them. Now, your walk, your behavior, and what the world sees in you. Paul has two things in his mind. Firstly, they should stand firm in one spirit. And secondly, they should not be terrified of their opponents. When believers are of one spirit like this, they will have the strength to fight the enemy. Now, in these perilous times in which we live, we must, as believers, stick together, trusting fully in God to lead us through. Don't just be a church hopper or someone who just doesn't attend church anymore. No, the devil's laughing at you. He's got you. He's got you. He's got you where he wants you. It's only a matter of time. Catch a wake up. Christ speaks to them about their conduct, which should be worthy of the gospel of Christ. That means they should lead a life that shows the dignity of the gospel. When we say that we believe the gospel, and at the same time live like the world does, then we bring blemish to the gospel. We fill it with dirty marks and stains. Then we are not representatives worthy of the gospel. You see, we have become citizens of heaven through the gospel. And there in heaven we are at home. We are an outpost of heaven on earth. Here in me, here is heaven inside me, the kingdom of God, a piece of heaven on the earth. My challenge is to let that heaven come out through the way I act, the way I talk, or what people see in me. I spoke about touching heaven and changing earth by the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's this. You and I are surrounded by enemies, and we need to uphold the honor of heaven. We need to keep the heavenly flag flying, our true home. Our conversation, our approach to life, and our whole behavior must line up with the worthiness of heaven. Our task is to walk, talk, and behave as ambassadors of heaven. Paul encourages the believers to strive together for the kingdom. It's all about standing together, of one mind, with one purpose, one set of values, one Bible, one Jesus. They can only succeed when they all have the same conviction and the same goal to pursue. They can only succeed when they all have the same conviction and the same goal to pursue. The enemy's attacks today are directed against the unity of Christians. That is why the call is to stand together firmly. Conflicting interests divide us. Racism divides us. Ancestral pride divides us. It's tough enough with different languages that divide us. You know, while I'm here, let me touch on this. I hear many people say that, it's my culture. It's my culture. Well, when you got saved, your culture was crucified with you on the cross. When you rose out of the waters of baptism, you were clothed in the culture of Christ. And it is Christ's culture that now applies. So don't fall into that trap of saying, yeah, I've got one foot in heaven, but the other still in my culture. No, my friend. You're being deceived. Conflicting interests divide us. Mutual interests bind us together. That means to be in one spirit. In our next message, we'll finish up by talking about a life worthy of the gospel. For now, I remind you, you are not designed to be defeated by pride, by racism, by entitlement. Oh, those are terrible things. You were designed to live a victorious life through humility, meekness with courage. What is that? That's beautiful. Go and reread that scripture again. And you have to partner with God to write this next chapter of your life, to live strong, to know whose you are, to know what you believe, why you believe it, and to live that out, that you actually believe it. So as we come to close now, we need to just close in prayer. If you don't know Jesus as your King and as your Savior, there where you are, ask him today, Jesus, if you are real, would you please reveal yourself to me in a way that I will know it's you and I will know this is real. And keep asking him until he reveals himself to you. And when he does, seek out a Christian leader, a pastor or something, and let them lead you through all your other questions. But let all of us now respond to this message of progress in humility. Are you guilty of ancestral pride? Because of who your ancestors were, you're entitled, or you something better than others, or come on. In the kingdom of God, the only way up is down. The only way to receive is to give. Maybe you need to confess a spirit of racial pride, of ancestral pride, a spirit of entitlement. Let's just pray. Father, you heard what I said, and you know what's in our heart. Lord, I want to pray today to confess pride, puffed up, full of my own importance, focusing on myself and not on others. Guilty as charged, but forgiven through the cross. Father, I renounce ancestral pride, racism, entitlement. I renounce them. I repent of them. I turn away from them. I don't want them in my life. Father, please forgive me. Deliver me from these things. Change my thinking. Show me where I'm wrong, Lord. Lead me to the truth in your word. And Father, today I ask that you help me from today to live a life worthy of the gospel, to live carrying the honor of heaven with me through my walk, my talk, my attitudes to life and people. Please help me. By faith, I now thank you, Lord. I receive your impartation today. I thank you for what you are doing even now, and especially for what you're going to continue to do. Help me to remember this decision, Lord, and to give effect to it in my life. For your glory, for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, thank you, my Father. Amen. And amen. Well, whew, that's a lot, and all I got challenged today, eh? With love from me to you, thank you for spending this golden time with me. If you benefited, please pass the message far and wide. Help as many people as possible. Subscribe if you haven't already. Until we meet again at the Watergat, be richly blessed. May Almighty God richly bless you and yours, and help you to live out these decisions that you make at the end of every message. Come on, that you may live strong and finish strong in the winner's change room. My prayer for each and every one of us is that one day we will stand in before Jesus, and he will say to you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest." Amen. God bless you.